Welcome to the Lighthouse Community Podcast. Thank you for joining us today. We hope today's teaching will encourage you in your faith and help you develop an increasing desire to walk with God. Let's listen in.
All right. Hey, well, it is, we are starting into the Christmas season, and the Christmas season is a time when we remember that God drew near. Right? Like God drew near, he showed up in our world, becoming a human being. And so during the season, we reflect on the truth that Christ, who is God himself, right, the Son of God, was born just like every one of us was born. That Jesus, the Son of God, right, God himself in the flesh, lived in our world. He faced the things that you face. He dealt with the temptations that you dealt with and succeeded, right? So he has faced everything, and we can relate to him, and he can relate to us and show us the better way of living, which is through trust in Jesus Christ. So one of the passages that we're looking at to start off is actually Matthew 1:23, and it just simply says this, that the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And so this whole idea that Jesus has entered into this world, he came to earth as a human, and the name Emmanuel, which means God with us, reveals a very important truth and a very important desire that God has. And what I want to tell you is if you're here this morning and you're not a follower of Jesus Christ yet, this truth is so, so critical for your own life. But if, even if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, then this truth is actually going to help you take real steps of growth, of learning how to trust God and to rely on him in new ways in your own life. And so today, what I want to do is actually engage in how we can all grow closer to God this Christmas through faith in Jesus Christ. So I do want to welcome everybody who's here this morning. And in fact, this morning we have our Lighthouse Online group is joining us during a special hour today. So we're really glad that you're with us. If you're joining us here in Hancock County, or maybe you're a little bit further away today, we're glad you're a part of the family. Head over to lighthousecommunity.online.church to get access to all of the things. And that's the best place to be a part of the Lighthouse Online family there. And then I do want to welcome our guests who are in the house today. If this is your first time or your second time, Lighthouse Community family, we do this every week where we welcome Lighthouse Online and our guests. Can we take a moment and just say thank you and welcome all of our guests in the house today? We're so glad you're here. Welcome to the family. So we're actually kicking off a brand new series called The Gift That God Gave. And we're going to be looking over the next four Sundays plus Christmas Eve at the gift God gave. And I'm just going to go ahead and pull back what the essence of this teaching is. Is the gift that God gave is his himself, right? That is the ultimate gift. That's the gift that we're talking about. And so for the next few weekends, we're just going to be looking at the character of God, who he is, and what he is like. And so before we jump into the teaching, I want to take a moment and pray together. So let's bow our heads and pray. God, we want to thank you for today. It is a gift. The scripture teaches us that your mercies are new every morning, and that is so true. We're going to make the decision right now, no matter whether this morning has been really stressful, whether there have been challenges and barriers in the way, whether this has been kind of a smooth, easygoing Sunday morning, we're going to make the intentional decision right now to turn our focus and our attention to you and to trust you to speak to us in very real, personal, and profound ways. Holy Spirit, transform our hearts, transform our lives from the inside out, cause us to want to know you, and to trust you in fresh ways today. We ask these things in the good name of Jesus. Amen. All right. Okay, so when we look at the fact that Jesus came into the world, when we look at the fact that it was prophesied his name would be Emmanuel, which means God with us, that exposes really quickly a desire that God has. And this is one of God's key desires that we're talking about today, is that God wants to be with us. I don't know if you knew that. But God actually wants to be with us. God wants to be with you. And I know maybe for some in this room, this is a new statement. This is a surprising statement. Because if you don't really know who God is, you might have the assumption somehow that God is distant. Right? He's off doing other more important things, but he doesn't really care about you. Right? God is cold and he's uncaring. Right? He's focused on himself and that's about it. You might think that God is cruel, angry, vengeful. And if those are kind of your starting places and your set points for who God is, that actually kind of creates this stiff-arming and resistance to knowing and discovering who God is. But I want to tell you something. If that's your view, if that's your understanding of who God is, I want to tell you, I do know God. I've been walking with him now for almost 3 decades. I was thinking about that this morning. Like, that's a long time. And so over that time, I've spent time with him in prayer. I've learned about who he is in the scriptures. And let me tell you about God really quickly. What I know about him is this. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with you. He wants to be with me, right? That is just true. And the question is, well, how do I know that? Well, by looking at the scriptures. And in fact, we're going to unpack some of that this morning. We've already talked about the fact that God showed up in Jesus. We talked about the fact that his name is Emmanuel, which means God's with us. I want to go back and look at the beginning. So if you have your Bible, go to Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to look at verse 26 here for just a moment, because we're going to go all the way back to the beginning. And so in the beginning, you have God creating the universe. And then pretty early on, right, he creates the universe, he creates the world, he creates the habitats, all these different types of things. And then God makes this statement in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, where he says, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness." Now, what that means is you are the intentional creation of a caring God. You did not pop up by surprise or by random acts in an uncaring and cold universe. You are the intentional creation of God who made you with care. And not only that, you are made in his image. There are ways that you are like God, right? And so what this shows us is that God is very, very caring. Right? And the reason that he created you in his image is so that there would be a connection with us, right? Between him and between us. It's one of the reasons, I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but think about the people that you like, you're friends with or you're drawn to. A part of just kind of the way that humans work is we're naturally drawn to people who are like us. We're naturally drawn to people who see the world similarly to how we see them. We're drawn to people who share the same music styles. We're drawn to people. It's just kind of how we are. We have this drawing to people who are like this. In fact, you can just look at a middle school lineup, right? Like go in a hallway and you're going to notice people who look like each other like to hang out together, right? I have seen this haircut for the last 7 years of my life with every middle school boy that I've come across, right? And so we're drawn to be with, right? Some of you guys are teachers and principals. You're like, yep, I've been looking at it every day too, right? We're drawn to be with the people who we're like. And that helps us understand a really important thing. The reason you're drawn to God is because you're made in his image. There's this natural inclination to want to be with him because we're made in his image. We're made in his likeness. We're created to be with him. Flip over one chapter to Genesis chapter 2. And here's some other things that we learn about the beginning. Is that then the Lord God formed, you might circle or underline the word formed, a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. And so what this is exposing with the creation of mankind is that God actually put the breath of life in you. Right? He gave that to you as a gift. And not only that, but he formed. It says he formed you with care, with intimacy, with closeness. Right? That's so important. In fact, that word formed, it's very, very similar in other places in the scripture, talking about a sculptor creating a sculpture. This is somebody who's painstakingly taking time to create this just the way that they want it to be. And when I was thinking about this idea, my mind immediately went to Michelangelo's David. Right? Have you seen this? This is seen as like the greatest sculpture of all time, right? It's just amazing. Now, I didn't want to put a picture up on for that one because that one can be a little, right? I looked for a picture with Michelangelo with pants, or David with pants on, but it looked a little bit weird. So anyways, when I was thinking about this, Michelangelo's David, I don't know if you knew this, but it took Michelangelo 3 years to sculpt that. And not only that, but I found out that the piece of marble that David was sculpted from had sat unused for 35 years because multiple sculptors said, that piece of marble is garbage and you'll never be able to create anything of meaning from that. And as I thought about that, I wondered, man, that's kind of my story. Like before I met Jesus Christ, how many people would have looked at my life and like, that kid's not going to amount to anything. You know what he is? He's a problem waiting to happen. And yet when Jesus gets a hold of a person's life, he can take something that seems unused, something that can't be turned into anything, and actually make something wonderful out of it. And the point that God is making here is that he took time. Think about this. Think about this. How did God create everything else in the universe, right? Light, land, vegetation, water, birds, fish. How did he create everything? He spoke it into existence. He said, light, and it showed up. He said, fish, and they popped up. Vegetation, animals, right? With birds, whatever it is. He just said it, and they came into being. But when it came to you, he formed you with care and intentionality. He breathed the breath of life into the nostrils of humanity, right? Why? Because he wants to be with you, right? By the way, this is true for every single person, whether you're a Christian or you're not a Christian. Every single human being is created in the image of God, and your purpose is to know God. Your purpose is to be with God, and God desires to be with you. And so you look at the beginning, you begin to see really clearly that God does want to be with us. But you know, you can also look at the end and you begin to realize that God wants to be with us. Go to the last book in the New Testament, Revelation, almost the last chapter, chapter 21, and we're going to look at a couple of verses here just really quickly. So Revelation chapter 21, verses 1 and 3 really paint the picture of what God's future is going to look like. And this is what it says. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. Now, the Apostle John is getting a vision of what the future is going to look like, and he's helping us to understand what that is. And he's going, hey, listen, there's a future where God is creating a new heaven and a new earth. And look what he says. God's dwelling place is with his people, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them. Now, when you read the book of Revelation, you'll see things like there are streets of gold, and there are walls of jasper and emerald, and there are crowns, and there are all types of things like that in heaven. But can I tell you, those are not the rewards. Those aren't the true rewards of heaven. You know what the real reward of heaven is? It's God. It's God himself. This is the thing that the scriptures get excited about. That for those, but by the way, so everybody's made in the image of God, but there is an edge to this, to heaven, is heaven is actually for those who put their faith in Jesus Christ, right? It's actually not for everybody. It's for those who say yes to Jesus by faith. And so God is creating a future place for his children, his people who said yes to him, put their faith in him, where they are with him, and we will be with him forever and enjoy him. God himself is the reward of heaven. And so I know that God wants to be with you because of the place that he's creating in the future for those who say yes to him. So you can look at the beginning, you can look at the end. One of the other places I would encourage you to look at to help you understand that God wants to be with you is you look at Jesus. This actually might be the most clearest understanding that God wants to be with you and that God wants to be with me. Look at this passage from Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. In fact, let's read this passage out loud together, starting with, but now in Christ Jesus. Are you ready? Go. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. This is painting the picture of what the good news of Jesus is. Ephesians 2:13 is saying, listen, because of your sin, you are far from God. You're separated from God. You can't come to him in your sin, right? And by the way, if you don't understand sin, sin at its core is simply this, rebellion against God. The idea, the mindset that I can live my life however I want to, with God to the side or God not even a part of it. It's rebelling against God's purpose, right? The purpose is for you to be with him, for me to be with him. And so sin is the rebellion of that, thinking that I can lead my own life better by myself than I can with God leading that whole thing. And sin keeps you far from God. So how is it that we're brought near? And what Ephesians says is you're brought near through the work of Jesus Christ. The fact that he lived the perfect life in your place. The fact that he died a death that was reserved for you for the debt that you and I racked up because of our sin. The fact that he was raised from the dead 3 days later, confirming that he's the Son of God, right? That reality, that truth is what brings us near to God when we put our faith in him, in his work, and in his ministry. And I just think about this, right? Matthew alluded to it. He's like, listen, there's a prophecy that's been fulfilled because Jesus showed up, right? The virgin will give birth to a son and his name will be Emmanuel, which means God with us. Do you realize that was a promise that God gave hundreds of years in advance of Jesus Christ showing up? There are promises that God made thousands of years in advance that one day that he would fully and finally solve the issue of our rebellion against God and welcome us home through faith in Jesus Christ. And so when you look at Jesus, why would he do that? Why would Jesus come into the world, live a perfect life, pay our debt, rise from the dead, and then welcome everybody who puts their faith in him to come home to God? Why would he do that? Because God wants to be with you. God wants to be with you. This is how much God wants to be with you. And Jesus is the clearest view of that. In fact, you know what Jesus is? Jesus is God's invitation for you to come home. That's what he is. He's God's invitation to say, listen, I've done everything necessary for you to be with me and for me to be with you, right? You know what your work is? Your work is to believe. That's what Jesus said. Your work is to believe in the one whom the Father has sent. That you look at the truth that Jesus came, he lived, he died, he was raised from the dead. You're convinced of that reality. And you make a decision to say, I'm going to follow Jesus for the rest of my life. I'm going to let him pay my debt. I'm going to live off of his work. I'm going to enjoy his grace. All of that. Right? That's what it means to walk with Jesus and to be made new. And we just believe. But there's a bonus to this, right? Because it's like you look at the beginning, you look at the end, you look at Jesus. You know what happens when a person says yes to Jesus Christ by faith? You know what Scripture says what happens? The moment that you say yes to Jesus Christ, you get another gift. You know what the gift is? The Holy Spirit. This is what Ephesians chapter 1 says. At the moment that you put your faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit shows up and takes up residency in your life. Do you know who the Holy Spirit is? God. God. God himself shows up to live inside of you. Guys, you look all throughout Scriptures, the beginning, the end, Jesus walking with him. It is so clear that God simply wants to be with you. And for some of you, this is the very first time you've ever heard something like that. And so my question is, God's done everything required for you to be with him, and he desires to be with you. And so the question is, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from stepping into your purpose as a human being, of knowing who God is, being with him and him being with you for the rest of eternity? What's in the way? That's the core question to work through. Now, I wanted to talk a little bit to people who had never heard that truth before, but I also want to talk to those of you, you know that truth. You're walking in that truth. You're enjoying the fact that Jesus has saved you and you're walking in a relationship with God. But you're kind of asking a different question. And so I want to talk about that for a moment. In fact, and to do that, here's what I want to do. I want to sing an old hymn. I'm going to start the hymn. Some of you haven't heard this one in a long time, okay? So I'm going to start it, and then there's going to be a point where I ask you to jump in and join singing with me. I'll tell you when that is, so don't be afraid, and don't come in early, right? Some of you guys, you're like, right, yes, singing. I can't wait. By the way, if you're joining online, I'm going to invite you. You sing along as well, wherever you're at home, you're in the coffee shop, it doesn't matter, right? You're going to join as well. So I'm going to start it, and then I'll tell you when to come in. So, some of you haven't heard this in a long time. Some of you, you've never heard this. Here's how it goes. Sunny day, chasing the clouds away, on my way to where the air is clean. Are you ready? It's your part. Yes. Yeah. So, that was so good. You guys got it. That was awesome. This half like started like two beats early, and then it's like, oh, okay, yeah. So it's like this echo thing. You threw me off a little bit. Okay, yeah, you got it. And so if you don't online, they were saying, can you tell me how to get to Sesame Street, right? Like some of you guys are like, what are you talking about? What is Sesame Street? Where even is that? I have nothing against Blue's Clues. I have nothing against Bluey. I'm just telling you, they ain't got nothing on what Big Bird got going on, okay? Like he's the man, okay? So Sesame Street, why do I bring that up? My favorite character from Sesame Street is Grover. You know who Grover is? He's a blue guy. Right. Sometimes he would show up and he's like, Super Grover, and do all of his stuff. But Grover used to do this segment that was my favorite. I remember seeing it. I remember the first time I ever saw it on PBS. He did this segment where he would start like in the middle and he would go, okay, I'm going to teach you about something. I don't have a good Grover voice. He said, I'm going to teach you the difference between near. And he would run up right really close to the camera and he goes, this is near. And then he would go, this is far, right? And then he would run to the front, and he would go, near. And then we'd run to the back of the soundstage and go, this is far. And so this is the whole segment, right? And by the way, it runs for about 5 minutes. And I'm just watching the whole time. I think it's great. And there's a point where he wears himself out. He passes out. It's absolutely awesome. Right? But he's distinguishing the difference between near and far. And what I didn't realize at 5 years old, the first time that I saw that, is that Grover was peeling back a theological truth. And that theological truth is this. Sometimes you can feel near to God, and sometimes you can feel far from God. And by the way, you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and feel near to God. And you can be a follower of Jesus Christ and feel far. Right? It's just a truth. Right? You can be a genuinely born-again believer and feel far from Jesus. Some of you in here, you feel near to God right now. And you're like, this is awesome. I feel so close to God. This is fantastic. And some of you, you're here today because you know it's right for you to be with the family of believers. Some of you are joining online. Maybe you're home because you're sick or something else. And you're like, I need to be close because it's right. But if you're being honest, if we were being transparent, some of you would say, I feel far from God right now. In fact, I feel like spiritually dry. I feel like I'm stuck. I feel like I don't really know what the next step or the next thing for me to do is. You know, I'm doing the things. I'm reading the Bible. I'm praying. I'm going to church. I'm serving in ministry. And yet, for some reason, I feel dry and I feel far and I'm not sure what to do. And you're asking the question this, what do I do? Right? I love Jesus. I know he saved me. But why do I feel distant from him? What am I supposed to do right now? Here's what I would say to you. It's a really simple thought, but we'll unpack it here in just a second. But here's when you feel far, when you feel stuck, when you feel spiritually dry, when you're not sure what to do, here's what I would say. Draw near to God anyway. Right? Why? James chapter 4, verse 8. I want to read this out loud together, starting with come near to God. Are you ready? Go. Come near to God, and he will come near to you. Right? This is a promise. This is a truth. That if you will draw near to God, God will draw near to you. Right? We've already talked about the fact that God has done absolutely everything necessary for you to be with him. And for some of you in the room, you've already said yes to Jesus. You're walking with him by faith. And yet there's this distant feeling, this dryness, this whatever. And so it's, you know, you're not wondering like, well, am I saved? You're just going, what's with the distance? Sometimes I have found in my own life that God will allow a distance to let my own heart be reminded that I really do want God more than anything else. That when the dryness comes, when the distant feeling comes, it's actually a tripwire for me to go, I need to step closer to God. Because it's not that God doesn't know what's in my heart. You know who doesn't know what's always in my heart? Me. I don't always know what's in there. And so sometimes I think God will actually leverage this distance to invite us to draw closer. So here's what I want to do. I want to share with you really quickly, with the time we have left, three ways that you can draw closer to God this Christmas. Here's the first one. Read the Bible for closeness. Read the Bible for closeness. What do I mean by that? Let me explain it by sharing something from my own life. So earlier this week, I finished reading through the Bible in a year. So I did a chronological plan. It was actually fantastic. One of the best through the year, Bible in a year plans I've ever done, because it's like I'm in the Old Testament and the New Testament at the same time. And so it was really awesome. I loved it. Finished that a couple of days ago, and that was really meaningful for me. Now, if I'm transparent with you, and maybe some of you who have done Bible reading plans in a year, you would express the same thing as well. There was a moment where I kind of hit a wall while I was reading. And I was reading the Bible because I should read the Bible, right? I'm reading the words, I'm going through it because I want to finish the plan, and I know it's good for me to be in the scriptures. Have you ever been here, right? Like, and if you're reading through the Bible in a year, you're moving pretty quickly through some large chunks of content. And so there's a moment that hit where it's like, man, I am just reading because I'm supposed to, but I don't really feel like I'm hearing from God. I don't feel close to God when I'm reading the scriptures. And so I thought, you know what? It's just a phase. I'm going to keep going. So I kept going. But the phase lasted longer than I felt comfortable with. So you know what I did? I made a change. I want to tell you what the change is that I made. I decided that instead of my goal being to complete the plan, I decided I'm going to change this. My goal is that when I'm reading the scriptures, I want to be close to the Lord. That's all I want. So here's the change that I made. I kept doing my plan, right? And I would just read until something grabbed my heart. And as soon as it did, I stopped. I could be 3 verses in. I could be a chapter in. One time I read through 4 days worth of reading in one sitting until something grabbed my attention. And I stopped. And what I would do is when something grabbed my attention, I would just stop and I would sit on that truth. And I would ask the Spirit, why did that jump out to me? I would meditate on that truth. I would think deeply about it. I would turn that into a prayer and ask the Holy Spirit to just keep revealing to me what is jumping out about this. Why is this so important? And essentially, I would wait until my heart was warmed by the truth of Scripture before I did or went anywhere else. And something began to happen over time. I felt my heart changing. I started feeling closer to God again. My Bible time was just remarkable, and I couldn't wait to be in it again, right? And so I just share that to say, some of you, right, you're going, well, there's only 24 days left until the end of the year, and I have to finish this Bible reading plan, right? You're like all stressed out of it. I'm behind, or whatever it is. Here's what I want to tell you. Some of you here this morning, some of you joining online, you're like newer to the faith, and in fact, it's really good for you to read the Bible for content, right? Because you've just never been exposed to the truth of the scriptures. And so one of the best steps for you is to read the width and the breadth of what's in the scriptures, right? Some of you like lived in one gospel the whole time, and it's time for you to read some things from the Old Testament. It's time for you to read some things from the letters, right? And so for some of you, the best step is to read the content so you simply know who this God is of the Bible. Others of you, you're in a season where it's time for you to be reading for closeness, right? And you've read the breadth, you've read the width, and it's time for closeness. And then there are others in this room and joining online. You actually need to read the breadth of content and for closeness at the same time. How do you do that? For me, you know what it's looked like? In the morning, I read for closeness, and in the evening, I read for content. That's what it's looked like for me. And that just works for me because in the morning, I'm like more dialed in. I seem to be more attentive to the Holy Spirit and what God's doing. And so in the morning, I just read until something grabs my heart and I stop and I just live there. And then in the evening, if I still have more in the Bible reading plan or something along those lines, then I read that in the evening. Now, if something still grabs my attention, a lot of times I'll still stop in the evening. It doesn't matter because ultimately I just want to be with God because God just wants to be with me. But here's what I would encourage you. Don't aim to finish the chapter or the plan. Let your aim be to be with God and read the Bible for closeness, to be with Him, to discover who He is. That's the first way you can grow closer to God this Christmas. Here's another way. Spend time with other growing disciples. Spend time with other growing disciples. So in Acts chapter 2, God creates the church, right? It didn't used to exist before that moment, but in Acts chapter 2, God creates the church, the Holy Spirit falls, right? The church is born. So incredible. What God does through the Bible, you begin to see that God gives the church kind of multiple names, labels throughout the scriptures. And so some of the names you'll see in the Bible referring to the church are things like this, the body of Christ, right? And every person plays a role. They're a part. You know, I'm a nose, I'm an ear, I'm a finger. Whatever it is, right? But it's referring to us as a body, the body of Christ. Another passage refers to the church as the building of God. Right? And we're all being put together as a place of worship where God is glorified. Another passage describes the family of God, or excuse me, the church of God as the bride, right? The church is the bride, and Jesus is the groom who's coming back to receive his bride one day. And those are good. One of my favorite titles or labels that the scriptures give to the church is found in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17, where he refers to the church as the family. Love the family of believers. I think this is such a great title for the church, such a great way to describe and understand the church. In fact, do you know what we were called before we were called Christians? We were called brothers and sisters. That's actually where it started. We're just brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? And so there's something beautiful about being the family of God, right? And just being a family. And so the church is a family who represents God's people on earth. The church is the family who represents God's presence in one way on the earth. And I know when I say family, in a room, it brings up different feelings, different thoughts, and different ideas. Because for some of you in this room, when you hear family, you think of closeness. You think of joy. You think of connectedness. And then there are others that are in the same exact room. When I say family, you think of distance. You think of hurt. You think of like awkwardness and estrangement. And so everybody's got these different setting points when you think about family. And all of that is true and it's real and it's valid. But I want to tell you something about this family, right? The family of God is God has created it and talks about it in the scripture. That in this family, this is a family who loves each other. We are unselfishly committed to the good of one another. That in this family, we pray for one another. That when you're going through challenging situations, we show up and we pray and we intercede and we ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen and encourage and bring patience and to do miracles that we could never do or accomplish in and of our own. That in this family, we intentionally serve one another. We find ways to help and show up and to be present in one another's lives. In this family, we give forgiveness away, that when you hurt me and when I hurt you, we grant forgiveness freely. Why? Because we have received forgiveness freely through Jesus Christ. And so whatever the background of your family has been, there's an invitation to understand how God has created his family. By the way, Jesus is the head of the family. I'm not the head of the family, right? I'm not your dad. I'm your brother. Right? So it's like, if there's problems with you, it's not my problem. You know what? I just tell dad. I'm just like, listen, your kids are out of control. Like, this is, I'm telling, right? Like, you, like God, you got to handle these people. This is your issue, not mine. And so we're a family. And I got to tell you, while I wouldn't like pattern my whole life around a junior high boy, right? Like, especially their haircuts. But what I would say that they have right is they don't do anything alone. Everything's together, right? Nobody does anything alone. They run together, right? There's never just one. It's like 3, 7, 24, right? They just like, you know, they're like in packs. And I think that's something that's really powerful, that's how the family of God works. We don't walk in isolation. We don't figure this out. It's just me and Jesus and nobody else. It's like, no, we do this thing together, man. We show up in each other's lives. We stick together. And so one of the most tangible ways that some of you could actually grow closer to God this Christmas is to simply set up some times where you invite believers into your life and you invite yourself into their lives as well, right? Just enjoying being together. Here's the last one. Here's the last way I think would help us to grow closer to God this Christmas is this. Have the courage to slow down. have the courage to slow down. It's not that you're stuck, but it's rather that you're hurried and you're rushed. And when you're hurried and you're rushed, you typically become more impulsive and you become less reflective and you become less aware of God's work and leadership in your life. And let me tell you, it takes courage to intentionally slow down in a culture that's telling you, you have to go faster, you have to do more. If you're not grinding 27 hours a day, then you're falling behind everybody else in your generation and you're not going to be where you want to be. It takes courage to slow down and keep your focus on the Lord. This is what Psalm 46 is inviting us to understand. Psalm 46 says this, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still. You know what being still looks like? Being still means not moving. Being still means not talking. Being still means waiting and simply existing and letting God love you. Be still. Can you think of the last time when you were just still before the Lord? Some of you right now are like ADHD are freaking out. I can never do this, right? We just spent like 3 seconds being still and you were already like freaking out, right? But actually, there's great joy in being still and just waiting and knowing. You know what happens when you're still and you know that I am God? You know what begins to happen? When you're reminded that God is God, very quickly, you're also reminded you're not. He's God, and I'm not. He's in control and in charge. My job is to be with Him and to trust Him. One of the most spiritual things that some of you will do this week, and I would encourage you to do this, one of the most spiritual things you could do is actually spend 1 hour away from your phone. You would turn it off, throw it in the bottom of your dirty laundry, put all the clothes right back on top of it, and just go live life walking with God. Simply getting away from your phone could be one of the most powerful spiritual moves that you could make this week. Quick Bible trivia. Who knows the fourth commandment out of the 10? The number 4. What did it say it again? Sabbath. Yeah, I love, he's like, Sabbath, right? Like, he yells it out like, let me be quiet. I'm going to yell it. Okay, yes, Sabbath. You're exactly right, Trent. Perfect. So, Sabbath. So this, by the way, this is the point of Sabbath, that God included, God instituted in the rhythm for what it means to be a human is that every 6 days, you would spend one day, 24 hours, just existing, resting, being still, and focusing on the fact that God is God and I am not. Right? The Sabbath says this, that you can spend 24 hours being of no value to anyone else, being not industrious at all, not creating anything, not adding anything to anybody else's life, and you are still deeply loved by the Father. That's the point of Sabbath. It's to just exist. In fact, this is something my family does Friday night at 6 until Saturday night at 6. Most weeks, sometimes things jump in and we have to make adjustments, but usually one day a week, we just do this and we just stop. And the lawn doesn't get mowed and the laundry isn't completed and the dishes pile up. It's one of the reasons we typically do paper plates on the weekend. Jenny knows this, right? And so this is just how we roll because we know that God's created us to rest, to be still, and to remember that He's God. And so getting close to God, it's not a mystery, it's not difficult and challenging, it's not a burden. In fact, it's really simple. It's like read the Bible to be close to Him, spend time with other growing disciples, slow down. And that's just 3 ways. There's other ways to draw close to God, but those are the 3 that I wanted to put in front of you for this Christmas. Because what you need to know is this. Some of you in this room, you need to know that God is not uncaring. He created you with purpose. God is not distant. He actually showed up in the person of Jesus Christ, giving Him the name God with us. God is not vindictive. He is not cruel. In fact, He showed up to pay the debt that you incurred. He showed up to pay the debt that I incurred. Why? Why would God do that? Because he wants to be with you. He's not disappointed in you. In fact, he's done everything necessary to welcome you home through faith in Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, you can get close to God this Christmas. It's designed for that. Emmanuel means God with us. And if you're not a Christian yet, I want to tell you, God wants to be with you. And the only way you can be with God, it's not by doing good things, it's not by showing up to church enough, it's not by being super spiritual, it's none of that. The only way you get to be with God is by putting your faith in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that everything he did and everything he accomplished is good enough for me, and it settles everything that I need in my life. It's that decision. And until you do that, you're always far away from God, and you can't come close to him. And so for some of you, this morning is decision time, and to make that choice to trust him. If you are a Christian, I want to remind you that God wants to be with you. Not just in heaven, not in the future. He wants to be with you today. He wants to be with you right now. It's the reason he gave you his Holy Spirit to live inside of you. It's the reason he's given you the scriptures to connect and to be with him, right? And so enjoy him. Enjoy him. Invite him into every moment of your life, and you'll be amazed at what he does and how he shows up. God desires to be with you, and he's done everything necessary for you to be with him. And so the question is, are you going to step in? Are you going to step in and be with God as well? I want to invite you to bow your heads and to close your eyes. We close with the teaching with the same question every weekend, and the question is simply this. Jesus, what are you saying to me right now? And I want to give you a chance to listen to him. I want to invite everybody to just kind of stay in a mode of prayer. So I want to talk to people for a moment who are working through who Jesus is and what it means to say yes to him. This morning, it may be to the point, maybe you're joining online and you're going, man, I get it. I'm seeing it with clarity for the first time. I'm being convinced of this for the first time that I need Jesus. That is great. That's actually the right process and the right step that the Holy Spirit typically uses. What I would say to you is there's still one last thing, right? You've got to make a decision. You've got to make a choice. You've got to choose to put your trust to rely on Jesus for everything, right? That's the starting place. And then he leads and guides from that place out. And so this morning, it's not for you to know everything there is to know about the Bible or for Jesus or Christianity or any of that. What it is for you today is to make a decision to say, I am convinced that Jesus is God. He died in my place. He's raised from the dead, and he lives today. If I put my faith in him, he'll make me new. That's the starting place. And then let him lead you from there on out.
Thanks for joining us. If you'd like to learn more about Lighthouse Community, check out our website at mylighthousecommunity.com or connect with us on Facebook. You're invited to join us live Sunday mornings at 9:09 or 11:11. Thanks again for listening to the Lighthouse Community Podcast.